Good morning, Mother Rogues, Father Rogues, and fellow local and long-distance non-residential parents. So, this is your handy-dandy Mother Rogue. It is a bright and sunny Wednesday morning. And I am trying to get back online after my office computer just dumped me off. I don't know why it did that, but it did, so here we go. In case everybody has missed it, I work from home. Working from home has given me a brilliant opportunity to connect with my son in a completely new and unique way. As a result of this COVID-19 crisis, everybody has online Zoom classes or online classroom or Google Classroom or whatever it is. And I get an invite as my son's parent to all of his classes. So at least once or twice a day, or a morning, as the case may be, I'm logging on and listening in. Obviously, I got the teacher's permission before I did this because I didn't want to absorb all of their bandwidth or ping it. It's, you know, the internet's running slow enough these days, as everybody knows. So, but when I got there, okay, I just sit there and my nice little Zoom avatar up. I usually don't keep video on. And when I see my son, I just kind of wave at him. That's when I reconnect the video. Just click that icon. And I do the same thing with the audio. Most of the time I'm on mute and I show up with my name. So my son sees me there. But I'm mainly just watching him. Now, usually what I'm watching, because my son is a surly teenager for another year or so, is my son's bookshelves in his bedroom, which are directly across from his desk, and he is off to the side on his bed listening to class. Periodically, I unmute and say, "Joe, come back." I've also had a couple of, you know, conversations with him in the middle of class where I'm on mute and the class is going in the background so they can't hear me or see me, but I'm calling my son to say, "Get on to school now." That's pretty much how things have been going for me in terms of visitation, in terms of actually seeing live and in person the child I gave birth to. And I think my ex-husband and I are luckier than most because, and by the way, that's not COVID-19. You guys have been listening for a while. You know that my throat gets dry whenever I talk for too long, for more than a minute or three. So, and we're at about 3 minutes now. So my ex and I are pretty lucky in terms of we're co-legal guardians and we've always been pragmatic about the amount of hissing and biting and nonsense we do about visitation, actually about anything that might involve lawyers or going back to court, but visitation in particular. And I've been seeing a lot on the non-custodial boards about, and I've been hearing a lot about from divorce attorneys I know about visitation and enforcing visitation rights and the Supreme Court coming down on this and all the states weighing in. So after I go get a big sip of coffee, so I stop hacking, because I can feel my throat about to say, no, we need water now, I will come back and we will talk about that. Stay tuned. I'm back. Did you miss me? I'm really, really behind. I've been getting my thoughts together about co-parenting during COVID-19. I wanted to give you all something that was more than sympathy, that was practical. I wanted to give you better than this whole thing really just sucks the big one. And the knowledge that you are going to be fighting yourself every day to get on that plane or get in that car. And I also needed to wrap my head around this whole thing because I've been reading up on the distance parenting board and the non-custodial moms boards, and I understand my perspective is very different. Possibly because I have run up so many legal fees fighting a battle that ultimately I lost.
And that was before there was a pandemic. That was after 9/11. So I didn't want to give you guys bad advice, and I didn't want to give you something meaningless. I absolutely hate to say this. I know this is a very unpopular thing, but the non-residential parent has almost no rights. And you can fight that to the high hills. You truly can. And I, believe me, guys, I know. I have. I spent something like $4,000 or $5,000, $10,000 last year demanding a co-parenting plan when my son turned 18 and we had to assume legal guardianship because he's disabled. And nothing came of it. And I consulted with my son's attorney who set up the trust and the guardianship. And I consulted with my family law attorney. And everyone told me, just, you have to sign off. It doesn't matter that your ex can continue to pull your strings. They didn't say that. They just said, you can't enforce anything and you need to sign off and you need to do what's best for your kid. And that was not an answer to me. And honestly, it's still not an answer, which is why I'm house training a 9-month-old dog right now, a rescue from Alabama, because otherwise, I'm going to get in that car, I'm going to drive, I'm going to bang on my ex-husband's door, and I'm going to demand to see my son. And I probably wouldn't get any resistance for it. I could probably bring Joey up here, but then how do I handle that? I know, you know, it becomes a matter of how do I avoid getting COVID-19 driving through all of the states I got to drive through or with a bunch of other people on a plane. It becomes, did my ex-husband properly wash and clean and decontaminate everything that my son is in contact with? And how do I handle that when he gets up here so that he doesn't, if he's carrying it, do we even know this? Because sometimes it's so silent. How do I make sure that he doesn't get infected or that I don't get infected? Suppose my ex-husband is carrying it. Suppose somebody pet my dog at the dog park and the virus is alive and well, one of them, on their fur. How do I prevent 3 people from putting their lives in jeopardy? And is it really worth it to demand from a court that my ex-husband give me more visitation or make it up on the back end? I was talking to my friend Sylvia about this, and she was in the same boat I was for a long time with her daughters. And she said, you know the drill, Chris. It sucks. It's like fighting the wind, but the custodial parent calls all the shots. I know that's very unpopular with you right now. All of you. I know that it hurts. It hurts a lot. I have burned through 3. I think I'm on my 4th. 3. I'm on my 3rd. Toyota Camry LEs going back and forth to New Jersey because my ex-husband refused. Even when I was in surgery, even when I had my, I had a laminectomy and an infusion at 3 of my vertebrae, and I could not drive. And my ex-husband refused to bring my son up here. When I had carpal tunnel release surgery recently, you know, before all this came down, and I asked my ex to at least meet me halfway, and he said no. When I asked for a moderator, he just ignored my requests, and I threw good money after bad. I don't mean anything bad about my ex-husband, but all of the reasons that you get divorced in the first place remain, even 15 years later. It is 2020. I have been divorced since 2005. And you never quite get it right. Most of the time, my ex-husband and I do. but you never quite do. And what I've learned to do the hard way, and what you could consider doing, is stop railing at the lawyers. Stop railing at your ex. Take a step back. And because, as I've said before in other podcasts, kids know. They really do. They know when you're fighting, and they are hurt more than when you are fighting, when you are upset, when your ex is upset, than they are when you don't see them. And none of us are seeing our kids right now. It's heartbreaking. And yeah, there are a lot of ex-husbands and residential parents and ex-wives that are throwing up the COVID-19 as an excuse. I don't know if it's a valid excuse. I know the law says that it is not. I know that there, if it is missed, lost parenting time, it should be made up. That's pretty much a standard built into everybody's custody agreement, including mine. And I know that a child is the number one way to hurt an ex. So you're going to get a lot of, oh, it's in Susie or Charlie's best interest if they don't see you. There's a pandemic, and it's too soon to talk about making up visitation, and it's too soon to talk about, no, you can't see them. There's a pandemic. Suppose you get infected and they get infected, and so on and so forth. Here's what happens. I know, because I've done it. I have the law, legal letters, and I will happily send anybody my law file. You spend a lot of money that you could be saving for your kid's future, fighting a battle that, unless you have a lot of money, unless you are willing to call the police, unless you are willing to, because even a court order doesn't really work, not all the time, unless you're willing to spend all of that money fighting and all of that emotional energy and enforce that with however you can legally, nothing is ever going to come of it. So right now, and I can't stand that, by the way. That is not right. It is not how it should be. There is absolutely no effing way that I should have put 140,000 miles on a 2007 Toyota Camry LE. And the only reason that I haven't put that on my 2014 is because I finally hit a point where my ex wasn't going to fight me, and I started bringing my son up here because he refused to let Joey come up here for 10 years too, by the way. I've been up here for 2 years ago, excuse me. And I started working from home. So the pandemic and my wrists and all the things that contributed to my working from home have kind of slowed me down. The miles down on my car. There is no way any of this should be right, guys. None. And I usually do not come out and talk about all of the horrible things that took place in my divorce and the lack of control I have had, because when push comes to shove, I married my son's father for a reason. And even though I divorced him for good reasons, I still love the man. I still think he's a good father. I still believe my son is where he needs to be. But we are 15 years down the road, and we're a bit mellow now. And everything I'm talking about occurred in the background. Occurred up until between 2005, when we got divorced, and I guess 2018, which is when I started bringing Joey up here. You fight the battles you can win. And especially when there's a health crisis, when there's a virus or a disease spreading that nobody can predict, spreading like wildfire across the country, putting everybody in danger, you choose your battles. I am so sorry, guys. I wish there was something better to say, but there isn't. I'm going to let you absorb that. I'm going to let you get really mad at me for saying it, and I will be right back after the break to give you the good news, because there is a light at the end of this insane tunnel. I'm going to grab a cup of coffee so I don't hack up another lung, because I've been talking for 11 minutes. Woohoo! And I'll see you on the flip side. Okay, so I promised some good news when I was done hacking out a lung about being a non-residential custodian. Here is the good news, folks. It doesn't matter how many times your ex denies you visitation or for how long. It doesn't matter what another parent, what an outside party says about you to your kid. In the end, children judge parents by their actions. Now, how do I know that? I've been divorced for 15 years since my son was 4. He's 19 now. And if you are doing everything in your power to stay connected, to call, to FaceTime, to Skype, to email, then your child, even if your ex blocks you, they're going to hear the phone ring. They're going to see your name pop up on your ex's cell phone. They're going to see the missed call if they're like my surly teenager who has 30-second conversations or occasionally just a skew engrossed in BioShock 50 zillion to answer the phone. God, I love having a teenager. All of that is going to go in your favor. And they are going to know that you are there. They're going to miss you. Probably not as much as you're going to miss them. And they're going to see the effort. Which is why I'm separated from my son now and taking full advantage of the fact that his classes, like I said, are online and I can get online. And I usually just mute the audio, mute the video. And when the teacher's talking to him, I unmute the audio or I unmute the video and wave to him because that's when he's in front of his computer. Everybody who gets divorced goes through a ringer. There's no easy way around it. And you always worry that your kids are going to grow up hating you, or they're going to parental alienation syndrome or all of this good stuff, but they don't. Now, I do know a non-custodial mom whose father whose ex kiboshed her to her kids. And they came to her and said, one day when they were a lot older, said, "Why? What the hell, Mom?" Their mom told them her side of the story. And then went back to the father and said, who was the residential custodian, said, "Huh? Yeah." And all of those girls are now more connected with the mother, I think. They're connected with both parents. But the last time I saw them, yeah, they absolutely adored their mother. Nothing had been lost. My son, I know nothing's been lost. I know that because of the way that he reacts to me online. I know that because the smile I get when I see him on FaceTime and the conversations that we have, which are mostly in the car when I see him going back and forth to New Jersey, and the times we spend together. I also know that because he does, even when I'm not there, get me a Mother's Day present, which I don't see a need for, get me a Christmas present, which, again, the best present I ever got was my kid. I promise, please, don't put yourself through the stress. Don't bankrupt yourself fighting this battle. This will pass. And if you fight to have a relationship with your children by calling them and texting them and sending them letters and talking to them, you will. And please remember that as you're fighting this battle and spending money on courts and attorneys right now, you are not invincible. And your child is going to need a future. And they're going to need a financial future. Maybe, I am not telling anyone what to do. The money you would spend fighting with an ex, through a lawyer, through court, would be better off on experiences, trips, and things you can do for your kids, and a college fund or life insurance to protect them when you're gone. What I do to cope, if this helps anybody, is I keep a journal for my son. And every day I write a note. I don't know if he'll ever read them. I've got like 4 of them. But at least he will have tangible proof that I loved him and I thought about him every day. You are all brilliant parents. I applaud you for doing the best you can and keeping it together in this sucky time. Please, you know where to find me. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. Just look up Christina MR68 and don't put the H in Christina. And if you need to talk, I'm here. And hang in there. We are doing the best we can. And by the way, there are parents who have free access to their kids who are divorced who don't take advantage of it. So we're all way ahead of the pack because we do care. We didn't walk away when we lost custody. And there are a lot of parents who do. So give yourself a round of applause. Give yourself a pat on the back. And I believe in every single one of you. This is the Mother Rogue signing off. I will see you next week. Take care.